final year, we normally teach the 6 authentic books of hadith. And there is a discussion generally as to the reason for the writer of the book to start off with a certain hadith. For example, Imam Abu Dawud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he starts off with Kitab al-Taharat, the section on Taharat, purity, etc. The reason they give is the day of Qiyamah, the first question will be about namaz. If the namaz goes well, then the rest of the reckoning goes well as well. And the precondition for namaz is taharat. Without taharat, you can't perform your namaz. So therefore, they start off Kitab al-Salah or Kitab al-Taharat. Then you get the Kitab of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. That is the second most authentic book on hadith. So Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh starts off his Kitab with Sanad. Sanad, in other words, the chain of narrators. And how important it is to scrutinize and to check the chain of narrators. If I am relating something, then people want to know the source. And when they know the source, they want to know how reliable the source is. For them to accept the information, they want to know the reliability of the source. So Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi starts off with sanad, in other words, the chain of narrators. And why he prefers that? Because the information is going to be accepted when the source is absolutely reliable. So now, the reader's mind is cleared in the first encounter of the book. He's encountering the book, and in the first encounter, his mind is cleared because the chain of narrators are absolutely reliable. They have been checked, they have been verified, they have been scrutinized. So that in the course of his studying the book, he doesn't have any misgivings, any doubts. Then you get Ibn Majah, for example. He starts off his Kitab in a different style. He starts his Kitab with Sunnat and Bidat. Right? What is Sunnat and what is Bidat? So the reason there will be obvious that to be able to practice on Deen, then one will need to know the dividing line between the truth and falsehood. Right? And then after understanding the truth and falsehood, that is the dividing line between Iman and disbelief, then there are things that will find their way within the framework of Islam. Right? What we call innovations, what we call bidat, that within the framework of Islam, they find their way. Like how you get a parasite plant, you know. So it isn't the actual plant, but it latches onto the plant and it appears as though it's part of the plant. So this has to be then distinguished. Okay, this is not part of the plant, this is something different. Lest someone sees this and he confuses himself for the actual thing. Like, for example, you see a rose tree, and next to a rose tree you saw a weed. It was so close, the attachment was such you felt that it's part of the rose tree. So you are showing it the respect that you're showing the rose. Obviously, it's going to be a loss, because this thing doesn't have anything. It's supposed to be plucked out and thrown. So you showed it the importance because you got confused. Because of your confusion, you felt that it's got the same worth. But later you realize that this thing doesn't have any value, rather it must be plucked out and thrown. So the importance of understanding the difference between sunnat and bidat. So then that's the style of, or this reason for preferring that type of a beginning. Then you find Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he starts his kitab in a totally unique style, absolutely unique, unlike everybody else. Find someone who start off his kitab with niyat, intention, innama al-a'malu bin niyat, right? So, starting off the kitab, niyat, what is the reason? Like I gave you the explanation for starting off other kitabs and with different hadiths. So, some musannif, he'll start off his kitab with niyat. So what was the reason for this writer to start off with niyat? Because he felt that, see, all your deeds are based on your niyat. How great the deed may be, but if your niyat is flawed, then the thing doesn't have any weight. Now, the starting of this kitab, it's a first encounter on my book. Now, check your niyat, rectify your niyat, correct your niyat, and then move on. Now, you don't rectify your niyat and you moved on, this is going to be a wasted effort. This effort is going to be wasted. It may be going to be something against you because your niyat was corrupt, your niyat was false, your niyat was wrong. So get your niyat right. So as you progress, you start off and you move on, and you're moving on a right footing. Okay? So from the very beginning, he wants you to be progressing, going on a right footing, so that midway, you don't have any type of misgiving and any type of regret. Okay, I have made so much of effort, and all that effort is gone wasted. So now that's another approach. Then you get Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he's got a unique way of starting the kitab. So he started off the kitab with Bad'ul Wahi. I showed you five different musannifs and how they started off the kitab. And then we speak of Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and his style is totally unique from the rest. So what he starts off with? He starts off with Bad'ul Wahi. So why did he prefer Bad'ul Wahi to all the rest? Like I showed you the styles of others, and I'm comparing with Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, why did he prefer Bad'ul Wahi? So they've given multiple reasons. Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says the reason for Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi starting off with Bad'ul Wahi is, now this is because I gave you this whole introduction because of this topic, if you, linking this introduction with this topic. So he says that the reason for Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi starting off with Bad'ul Wahi is our entire deen is what? It is for connecting ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. What is the reason of practicing deen, adhering to deen, committing yourself to deen? So all the structures that you commit yourself to and you conform to, so for what do you do it? You do it to connect yourself to Allah Ta'ala. Is any other reason? Allahu waliyyul ladina amanu. Allah Pak is your friend. He is your guardian, right? Right? He is your protector. So you want to connect yourself to him. But you want to connect yourself to him and connect yourself to him correctly, because overall, everybody and every creation is connected to Allah Ta'ala. There is anything that doesn't have a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Without the connection, everything will cease to exist. Literal life, not even life, it will cease to exist. The existence will be no existence. So it is because of that divine connection that you exist. Your very existence. One is your life and one is your existence. So it is because of this connection that you exist. Sifat of Allah Ta'ala is wajid, right? When he is the wajid, then you are the mawjood. Right? He is the one that gives existence, so you are the thing that comes into existence. He is the one that provides existence, and because of him providing existence, you became existent. So even your existence is linked up to him. It's totally based on his will. If he doesn't will, then you cease to exist. One is your life, you don't have life, and one is you cease to exist. So your creation, your existence, your functioning, everything relates directly to Allah Ta'ala. For a second, he shifts his attention, you go on class. Yes, in a second. So by and large, our entire existence is for what? Is to get the right connection. Because everything is connected to Allah Ta'ala. But we want to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, but in the right way. We want to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, but in a way that He likes us and we like Him. We want to connect ourselves in a way that we become lovable. We love Him, and then He is lovable to us. We want to connect ourselves with favor and grace, with mercy and compassion. Right? Otherwise, everything is connected to Allah Ta'ala. Right? There isn't a thing that is not connected to Allah Ta'ala. But we want this special type of a connection, the connection of grace, connection of compassion, the connection of love. Right? Like you see, a man has got a lot of things, right? Some things, and all these things are connected to him. Some things he keeps there, but he doesn't have an attachment to it. He just keeps it for some convenience. Right? For example, it's a Muslim, and he's got, amongst the other animals and livestock that he's got some swines, for example, right? So you ask him, why do you keep the swine? You know, I hate them, but then why do you keep them? I keep them just to clean all this mess up. There's so much of mess around, and then I need to get this cleaned up. So I keep these things just to clean up the mess up, the mess. So does he have an attachment? He doesn't have an attachment. He doesn't have a liking. But now he's got all mess and filth around, and he wants an easy way to go and clean up all this mess. So he's got some of these things employed to clean all the mess. So you have a connection to it because it's your property, but is it a connection of love? Is it a connection of respect? It's not a connection of respect, nor is it a connection of love. It is a connection of convenience, just because you need to get this filth out of the way, so you got this filth, remove the filth. Right. So the same will be the connection of the kafir. Right? So like the believer is connected, so the kafir is also connected. Without this connection, he can't exist. But this connection, like the shaitan, also is connected, right? But this connection is not a connection of respect, not a connection of mercy, not a connection of love, not a connection of affection and grace. Rather, it is a connection of rejection. Shaitan is rajim, right? So they are rejected and they are thrown out, right? So same will be the lot of the disbeliever. He's got a connection, but the connection of rejection, like I said, that swine, you see. So it's a connection, but a connection of rejection, a connection of curse, a connection of one that is thrown out of the way. So you are connected. So because of the connection, you live. Right? And if it went for the connection, then that shaitan also couldn't live. Right? He was so helpless, he couldn't live. So he is connected, therefore he exists. And without that connection, he also can't exist. Right? So the kafir also exists because of this connection. Now, you don't want just an ordinary connection, you want a special connection. And that connection you want is of a connection of grace, of love, a connection of compassion, a connection of favor, a connection of guidance, a connection of you being lovable as you would like. Allah Ta'ala is lovable to you as well. He's lovable to you, but you also have love for him. So that type of a special elite, like a unique, you know, very special connection you want. So, I was talking of Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, why he preferred bringing this hadith at the beginning. Now, in order to get the type of a connection with Allah Ta'ala, what is required? Right? The thing is required is some effort, right? Some amal, some effort is required. Right? Like you want to become an accountant, right? So what is told to you, all right? You want to become an accountant, but getting up there requires some type of an effort, requires a struggle. Don't you say that? It requires an effort. So you want a connection with Allah Ta'ala, but this requires some effort. Without that effort, you can't get this connection, right? Or you can't get this. Right? So this connection, or any connection, would require an effort. Right? That effort, what do we call? We call it amal. Right? That amal would be a whole host of things. It would be good deeds, it'll be good words, it'll be good character, it'll be good etiquette, right? Good worship. So that amal will translate into all these different things, right? So the connection you want will require some effort from your side. And that effort, right, is a very broad thing. Like I said, action, deeds, words, social etiquettes, character, behavior. So it's such a broad thing. When it's such a broad thing now, then you need to know it, right? What it is all about, how to do it. You know that it requires an effort, but then that effort, right, you can't carry out that effort without knowing what it is. You know that it requires an effort, right? But you don't know how to carry out that effort. Can you carry it out? Right? You can't carry it out. Right? You know, for example, farming requires some effort, right? Crop farming requires some effort. But you don't know what it is, what it means, crop farming, what it means, how it is done. You don't know how it is done. Can you practice it? You can't practice it. So you need to learn it. You need to know it. You need to learn it. You learn it now, you're going to practice it. You need to, for example, you understand that having good food requires some effort, right? But now what is the effort? How do you prepare that? That's a science on its own, right? You have to buy Indian delight, something, and then you will buy this cuisine and that cuisine kitab, right? And then you'll be able to prepare that thing, right? So now you know that there is an effort, but now that effort requires that you know what that effort is all about. You got the effort, and the effort requires you to know what it is all about, right? Otherwise, you're going to be taking a shot in the dark. You know, I mean, reach Allah Ta'ala, you're jumping and you're running and doing a lot of things, right? But now, is that in conformity with what Allah wants? Effort, but that effort must be the right effort. It must be the effort that Allah Ta'ala wants. It is the effort that is endorsed. It is the effort that is stamped by Allah Ta'ala, and after Allah Ta'ala's endorsement is endorsed by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? It's approved. It's endorsed. So, now you need to know that the effort is right. You hear, for example, Allah Ta'ala wants you to give your life, right? Give me your life. So he said, Allah, I want to give you my life. So you go and go to the 40th story of a building and say, Allah, I'm jumping, giving you my life. Now, you made an effort, your intention was right, but you didn't know how to give your life to Allah Ta'ala. So you'll be charged for suicide. Won't you be charged for suicide? You intended right, right? You had no, there was no flaw in your intention. Intention was right, right? You try to carry out the effort, right? But you didn't know how that effort is supposed to be done. When you didn't know what the effort is like, you took a chance, right? When you took a chance and you put yourself onto the 40th floor and you're dropping yourself, now it's disaster, suicide. Yeah? And you're going to get caught for suicide. So the same now in ibadat, then you need to know how that amal is supposed to be done. You can't just take a chance. I saw so and so doing this, so I must do it. Like how it's become a fashionable thing today, that someone went to the Haramain or he went to some Arab country and he saw some Arabs doing something. So when he saw those Arabs doing it, he wants to do it. Yeah. Saw someone reading Ameen loudly, so he wants to do it. He saw someone performing namaz with all his topi, so he wants to do it. Right? He saw someone with jamis, so he wants to do it. So now what is this, taking a shot in the dark? No. You just saw someone and you saw him in the language, so you got overwhelmed with the language. He knows the language, so he knows it. Right? Whether he knows it or not, that's a different thing. But you saw him with the language and you were overwhelmed with that language, so you felt that because he knows the language, so he knows it, so let me go up with him. Right? He's joining up two namazes, so he's joining up two namazes. Right? He's just making a masa on an ordinary cotton socks, so you're doing it. So now, you're taking a chance. Right? Like I said, you tried to make a definition of your own. So you went up, you heard, give your life to Allah Ta'ala. So you went to the 40th floor and giving. So this type of a random, doing things randomly, taking a shot in the dark, then you get shot down. You take a shot in the dark, you get shot down. So you can't be taking a shot in the dark. So you'll have to know firsthand what it is, what Allah wants. I want to do the effort, but what is the type of effort Allah wants? I need to know the details. I need to know the nitty-gritties, the whole specification. Give me the specs. Yeah, how Allah wants me to do it. So I need to know that. So this will come with ilm. Right? Without ilm, you don't know how to do the amal. Right? Then the ilm, where will it come from? Right? The knowledge, everything has got a source, right? Everything has got a beginning. So where will the ilm come from? The ilm will come not from your books. It won't come from experience. Like, for example, medicine. Medicine, how do you learn medicine? From experience, right? Because someone had a flu, so then they started off something like a Panadol. So they administered the Panadol, they tried this thing, that thing. They tried on an animal, monkey, or a baboon, whatever. Came right, so now they experimented. So now that thing came into vogue. But how it came into vogue? With experience. Right. So same with everything that is in vogue in life, medicine, etc., etc. Then it's developed, and it's developed by experience. Right. So they will take an animal, for example, they'll bisect an animal. They'll see now this thing here, what properties it's got. They'll give this medication, so how it responds, how it reacts on that body. Right. So then they see that it reacts in this manner on that body. Now they administrate on a person, see. So they carry out the experiments on animals and whatever else, and thereafter it comes into the market, see. So this is based on what? It's based on experience, right? It's based on experience. Now, wahi is such a thing that you can't base it on experience, because our final source of understanding and analysis is our brains, right? So there is a level above our brains. Right? Our experiment, etc., and our analysis, etc., that revolves around our brains, our intellect. And wahi is above the intellect. Right? When wahi is above the intellect, so our brains can't grasp it. Our minds can't grasp it. Why it's beyond our intellect. What was within our intellect, our brains can grasp it, right? 2 plus 2 is 4. Our brains can grasp it, right? Right. There's a knife. What is the property of the knife? It will pierce, it will hurt. So that your brains can grasp, your eyes can see. You can see this is the property of the knife, right? A stone, this is the property of a stone, that if you add it into concrete, etc., it will solidify that column, right? So you can see the property of that stone. So it's something that you can see with your eyes. You can analyze with your brain, right? You use this into this, and this is the product that you will get. Right? So you can analyze that. But now Wahi is beyond all that. Because Wahi is talking about things beyond this life. Right? That you will do this and you will get Jannah. You will do this and you get Jahannam. Now you can't see Jannah, nor can you see Jahannam. But you are being promised that you perform your namaz, etc. rightly, then you'll get Jannah. You don't do these things, you're getting to Jahannam. Now can you reason with your brains that, you know, this will get me Jahannam and this will get me Jannah? Can you reason your brain? You can't reason. Right? It's not within the framework of your reasoning. It's beyond your reasoning. Right? It's not within the structure of your reasoning. Like 2 plus 2 is within the framework of your reasoning. Right? Now this is a knife that's within the framework of your analysis, understanding and experience. But you will do this and you'll get Jannat. You will do this and you'll get into Jahannam. You'll do this and you'll get problems in the grave. Right? Now that is beyond your intellect and reasoning. When it's beyond your intellect and reasoning, then you need a different source for this information. Right? So this information will come direct from Allah Ta'ala. It's not going to be at the level of your brain, because your brain is too limited, too small. It can't reason beyond a certain point. When you can't reason beyond a certain point, then you need something else to inform you that what's going to be good and what's going to work out for you beyond that. Because your brain can reason and analyze things that's within life, within this universe, it can analyze. But things that are beyond the universe, beyond the framework of life, it can't reason. But you will do this, read Surah Tabarak, and you'll get saved from the horrors of the grave, right? So your brains can reason. Brains can't reason. That you can read Surah Tabarak, and you'll get this. This will be the result of Surah. So your brains can't get it, because it's beyond, it's above your brain. That Surah Tabarak has got this type of an effect, that your brain can't tell you, your eyes can't tell you, your ears can't tell you. With your senses, you can't perceive it with your senses. Can you perceive it with your taste, with your smell, with your eyes, with your ears? You can't perceive it. So you need some type of a higher level of a perception. So this higher level of perception is called wahi. Right? So this wahi will connect to things that are beyond life. Right? Things that are in the unseen, the wahi will connect to it. So when the wahi will connect to it, right? Because I say the wahi will connect to it is because the wahi is divine inspiration. It's a divine command. It's a illumination from what? From the unseen, from Allah Ta'ala. Right? So when Allah Ta'ala is in control of this universe and the hereafter, this realm that is visible as well as the realm that is not visible, he's in control, total control, right? So when he's in total control, then he will know, and he knows what is better for you for that world and what is good for you for this world. Because he's in absolute control, supreme, absolute control. But he's in absolute control, then he will tell you that you will do this and this will happen. You won't do this and this will happen. He will tell you. So this message that this is going to work out for you, and this is not going to work out, this message that will come from Allah Ta'ala, instructing you, directing you, guiding you, that this is going to work out for you, and this is not going to work out for you, is called wahi. Now, Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, now he started off with Bad'ul Wahi. So what was the reason? Because this whole effort is directed towards the hereafter. You're doing namaz for the hereafter. You're giving zakat for what? For the hereafter. So everything must work out smoothly for you. Right? Right. And the window to the hereafter, is wahi. Because from that wahi, you know what the hereafter wants from you. Without this window, you can't make out. You can't make out what the hereafter wants from you. What Allah Ta'ala wants from you, what the hereafter wants from you, you can't make out. So with wahi, that wahi is like the window to the hereafter. when it's the window to the hereafter, so you need to know that, what it is. Now you know that, right? You know the window of the hereafter, you discovered it, right? When you discovered it, now you'll have no reservation, you'll have no doubts, you'll have no resistance in accepting that wahi. Because this is the window that's connecting you, connecting this realm to that realm, connecting you to the hereafter, connecting you to Allah Ta'ala. This is it. At every step of the way, every step of the journey, it's connecting you, it's showing you. Every step of the journey is showing you. There isn't one step of the journey where it is void of guidance. It's telling you, for example, you're going to the toilet, this is how you're going to go. This is how you're going to behave yourself in the toilet. The step that you take out, this is how you're going to behave. Right? Coming to the masjid, this is what you're going to do. Right? In your business, this is how you're going to practice. This is what you're going to avoid. Right? When you're going to be socializing with people, this is what you need to be careful about. You can't be intermingling. You can't be freely mixing. When you are going through some type of an entertainment, right? And this is the entertainment that you are allowed to do. And this is the entertainment that's going to bring you Jahannam, right? You want to get into humor and some light talk. So this is the parameters for the light talk and humor. And beyond this, you can't, right? So every step of the journey, the wahi is going to tell you. So you're so dependent on wahi that every step is guiding you. And that wahi is so comprehensive that it's showing you every step of the journey. Like this world, they'll show you something you don't know, right? But that wahi is so comprehensive that every step of this journey is showing you that by the step. Even how you're going to sleep, how you must sleep, what you must do, what you mustn't do at the time of sleeping. So that wahi is going to be so comprehensive that every step of the journey is going to be directing you. So now you need to be dead sure about wahi, what wahi is all about. So now you are sure about wahi, you understood it, you grasp it completely. Now as you are starting off the kitab, you've got no hesitation, you've got no reservation, your mind is absolutely clear. So when your mind is absolutely clear, right, then what is the expected response? What is the expected response? Your mind is clear about wahi, absolutely. So what is the expected response? The expected response is, then as you are studying the kitab, coming on hadith, then you're applying it straight away. It's the expected thing. Because you're seeing, now, in a different level you're looking at things. Right? Before you didn't know about it. Now you understood it, right? Before you didn't know what was the difference between a stone and a diamond. Right? Now that you're studying this kitab, now you understand the difference between a stone and a diamond, right? So when you understood it, now you're going to grasp it. You're going to embrace it. Right? Before you didn't know what was the difference between a cockroach, right? And bichu ko kya kehte? Scorpion, yeah. And a scorpion. You didn't know the difference between a cockroach and a scorpion, right? Now, you came to understand that this is a cockroach and this is a scorpion and how venomous this thing is. And it can kill. The venom is so severe that it can kill. So now, when you understood it, so you're going to abstain. So the same, by the same token, now you understood the wahi and you grasped it. When you grasp it full, so you know that this is a killer. This deed here is a killer and this is a saver. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. So this is a saver. And this is a killer. This is a saver, and this is a killer. See? So that will depend on how well you understood the concept of wahi. If you didn't understand the concept of wahi so well, then you can't get that application so well. But you understood it and you grasped it very, very well. Right? Now, that concept of wahi is going to go very deep into your heart, very deep into your mind. You're going to take it at a different level, like how the child that discovered the difference between a scorpion and a cockroach, right? And the child that didn't discover, he didn't discover, he'll still be experimenting. But the moment he got to discover that this is a scorpion and this is a cockroach, right? he'll look at things totally different. He's going to be looking at it not the same way, he'll look at it totally different. Now, this is going to be dependent, it's going to be subject to what? That how well you understood this concept, how well did you see it, you saw it very well, you understood it, your mind has taken to it or not. So if your mind hasn't taken to it, that means that you didn't understand this so well yet. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Right? So that means your brains, there's still a veil over your brain. When there's a veil that you didn't understand it at all, and if there's a partial veil, then you understood it partially. And there is no veil, then you understood it fully. Now there's nothing that is stopping you to do it, because you're seeing that that is getting you destruction, and that is getting you salvation. This is a saver, this is a killer. So now, how important that wahi is, and how important it is that you grasp it, and you grasp it full. You didn't grasp it half, you didn't grasp it quarter, you didn't grasp it incomplete. You grasp it and you grasp it complete, full. When you grasp it and you grasp it full, so that you're going to go full. Now there's not going to be anything that's going to stop you to do it, because شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ, that whole veil Allah Ta'ala opened out, cleared the whole veil out. When it's cleared the whole veil, so now you can see it, broad as daylight, right? You can see it. So you don't want to touch the snake. Can you touch the snake now? You will touch that snake if you are veiled. You are blindfolded. You're going to be blindfolded, you're going to touch the snake. But the veil is out, you know. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ. Now, the veil is cleared, and you're going to touch it. You don't want to touch it, because you understood. You understood what it is. What's the destruction? And what's the aftermath, what's the consequence? You understood all that. So now you're not going to interfere. So now you know that this is ghibat, right? So that will appear to you like a python. It's going to grip me now, you know, strangle me. What is it going to do to me? You understood the effect of ghibat. But you didn't understand that wahi, you didn't grasp it fully, so you are still in veil, you are still veiled. You haven't seen it yet properly. Because you haven't seen it properly, you're still experimenting on that. You're still experimenting. So Imam Bukhari Sabrana says, get this concept very, very clear. Very, very clear. You get it, as you get it, to the extent you're going to get it clear, then the road is going to be clear to you. You're going to understand my kitab, and you'll take it, and you'll take it to your bosom, you'll embrace it, you'll kiss it, you'll hug it, and you'll keep it like a life jacket, man that is deeping into the depths of the ocean, how he needs a life jacket. So you'll keep my kitab as a life jacket. Time is up now.